longer as your aether is slightly higher than theirs. Virka smiled at Darkness as she leaned forward with pursed lips. It was a silent request, but one Darkness was eager to grant. Aetherflame lips met Virka's. The surge of aether was high, but the love behind the kiss was far higher. Darkness pulled back while Virka gasped on the bed.
Virka? Gregory asked softly.
I'm fine. The aether was intense, but it was the love that really filled me.
Virka stared into Darkness's eyes, the aether orbs they were.
Your love is wonderful, Darkness. It matches mine so well. I look forward to the day we can do more than kiss.
Oh, goodness,
Mindy gasped, squirming in place.
I want to watch it.
Darkness and Virka giggled as they both turned to look at her. Their mannerisms were very similar. Not quite an exact match, but close to it. If Darkness looked like Virka did right now, one would think they were twins. The difference in body helped break that illusion, as did Virka suddenly vanishing from the room.
Mindy next,
Gregory chuckled. Darkness went to stand before Mindy.
Dearest healer, what do you wish of me?
Mindy pursed her lips in reply. The idea that she could kiss Darkness was too tempting to pass up. Darkness leaned in slowly, building the anticipation. Mindy whimpered as her eyes closed, and she waited. The moment their lips touched, Mindy vanished.
Is she okay?
Gregory asked instantly.
She'll be fine, but she'll be a mess in the morning. Her dreams are going to be vivid.
I'll do my best for her.
We all know you would, my soul,
Darkness whispered as she slipped to stand in front of Gregory. Her eyes dipped to his straining flesh.
Oh, how I wish I could do so much more for you.
Swallowing against his dry throat, Gregory cleared his throat.
Yeah, so do I.
I would be willing to,
Darkness murmured. She stepped back and then knelt on the floor.
I would be very happy to wait for you to find release.
Her hands roved over her body, tempting him. Gregory closed his eyes. Memories of his old life came back to him. Snippets of how he'd used Darkness because she looked like Vera. How he'd demanded, dominated, and used her to slake his lusts and the ache of his loss. Swallowing, he slowly opened his eyes to meet hers.
No.
Darkness shuddered when he spoke that single word.
My heart. I'm not that man anymore. You aren't a toy or plaything. You're my wife, a treasured loved one to me. You are not flame. You aren't my slave to do my bidding. I love you as surely as I do Mindy, Jen, Yuki, and all the others.
Darkness wept. Her heart was elated that he saw her like that. It was something she'd craved since she was created, but she also felt like she was failing him. Old orders clashed with this new love, and she felt torn. Gregory was kneeling beside her a moment later.
My dark heart, please let go of what was. I only want you to know love now.
His words touched on her core, and she felt it shift. He was still not quite able to command her, but with her own desire to be treasured, it changed what was engraved in her core. The tension in her broke, and she collapsed forward, gasping at a sudden freedom she'd never known before. She could love him and be loved by him without her core enforcing it.
Darkness!
The worry in his tone tore at her, and she lurched upright to be kneeling again.
I am fine, my soul. I am. Thank you. I can be free to love you and accept it in kind. You cannot command me yet, but you are growing closer.
Good. Force me out when you must.
What? Why?
Because you'll have to,
Gregory said softly as he turned to hug her.
I want this to be my memory of you tonight.
Her aether shot into him, and he gasped as he wrestled the infusion that tried to fill him to bursting. Darkness was elated that he wanted to simply hold her, not debase and use her. Shoving at him with her power, he was ejected from the dream space.
Foolish idiot. Gods, I love you.
Darkness laughed and cried as she could still feel his arms around her.
I love you so much. And all on my own. Thank you.
Chapter 50. Gregory and Mindy got dressed after rinsing with the water that had been delivered. Stepping out of the partitioned alcove, they both bowed to Ironhand.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir,
they both said. Ironhand raised a single eyebrow at them.
Is it? I went for a walk after being woken from my slumber. Then I was woken again this morning.
Mindy's face was a furnace as she fidgeted.
I'm sorry, Elder.
Be a bit more aware of your surroundings,
Ironhand said.
I still remember the first decade of my marriage, but time and place.
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir.
Gregory coughed.
Sit. Breakfast will be here shortly. Mindy, you'll be coming with me since we're going to watch the duels for Bloodrock. Bloodhand will be there as well, but you are not to do more than he does. Understood?
Mindy bowed her head.
Yes, sir.
Good.
Sir?
Thomas said from outside.
Breakfast.
Bring it in, Thomas.
After a quick meal, the three of them marched to the earthen barrier protecting the camp. Taking the stairs to the walkway, they joined the group that was already there. Everyone from the command tent had turned out, but the duelists were the ones closest to Ruzee.
The other healer is here, along with Ironhand and Pettit,
Ruzee said when he saw them.
We can begin now. They've been waiting for a few minutes.
Gregory looked to the war-torn land between the city and encampment. Ragnar and the others were a quarter way across, clearly waiting for the Empire. Gregory looked not at his soon-to-be brother-in-law, but at Ava. She was the one most likely to die on the other side. She had been respectful and kind when they spoke, a devoted mother who loved her daughter.
Let them know to send the first fighter out,
Ruzee said to a waiting magi. The woman spoke calmly, but Gregory felt her magic at work.
Krogin champions, send your first fighter forward. We will send your opponent through a spatial portal.
Ragnar hefted his axe, turned to his friends, then slapped his fist to his chest before heading across the field.
Iverson, we could kill him here and now,
Frost sneered.
We could crush all four of them easily.
Which would break the agreement and bring Stenson out to slaughter us,
Ironhand said flatly.
After that, Windfoot would come, and even he would fall to their monster of a priest.
Frost's gaze went to Gregory.
Is that what the foresight magi told you? It's every future where a duel is broken,
Gregory said softly.
Is killing Iverson worth the Empire to you? Because the army would be broken, and we'd be down a sage. Do you think Buldoon wouldn't take advantage of that?
Enough, Pettit,
Ruzee said.
Frost, you will get the chance to face him right after Magi Killer.
I know he killed a high champion in the past, but it's clear the Armsmaster is no longer as formidable,
Frost snorted.
But fine, soften him up for me, Magi Killer.
Be glad I'm going to fight him,
Egil said stonily,
or I would be seeking another duel right now.
Turning his back on Grandmaster Frost, Egil saluted Ruzee.
For the Empire! For the Empire!
Ruzee repeated, then the men and women nearby shouted it. Levi created a portal for Egil to step through, getting him to the middle of the open land before Ragnar finished crossing. Egil planted his naginata, then began to stretch. Ragnar finished crossing a minute later and slammed his axe into the ground. The Wind Magi brought their words to the onlookers.
Egil Magi Killer! It is an honor to meet you, and the greater one to face you. Your exploits are known across Kroga,
Ragnar said.
Ragnar Iverson, the youngest High Champion in ages. It is an honor to face you, too. I slew a High Champion decades back in a duel much like this one. I know, Magi Killer. That's why I am honored to face you. May Mortum welcome you home, and Aether bless you for your honor. Krog already smiles upon you for your strength.
Both men pulled their weapons from the ground before respecting the other with a bow or fist to chest. A tense silence settled on the onlookers as the Wind Magi let go of her magic. The two men met in a sudden clash, their weapons glinting under the morning sun. Flashes of aether barriers appeared as the two continued to clash. Gregory was pensive, as he didn't see any aether flame from Ragnar. He was trying to honor Egil with a good fight before the end. The sudden burst of flame shocked most of the onlookers.
"He's losing,"
Ruzi said softly.
"He's burning through his enchantments far faster than he normally would."
That burst of fire got Ragnar to do more. Aether flame came and went as he increased his strength and speed to try to finish the duel more quickly. Egil had dozens of enchantments that had been specifically made for him to use, and he held none of them back. Earth spikes, more fire, and even a flash freeze all occurred in the next minute, but none of them seemed to stop or even hinder Ragnar. The end came suddenly, and Gregory bowed his head. Tears slipped free as he didn't want to see Ragnar standing over Egil's headless body. He'd known it was going to end in Egil's death, but the full impact hadn't registered until the moment it happened. Mindy touched Gregory's back as she cried too.
"A great man fell today,"
Ruzi said loudly, tears trickling down his cheeks.
"Let everyone say a prayer to send Egil's soul on to Mortu. Rest well, old friend. Your loyalty was without question, and your heart was always with the Empire."
Murmured voices rose in prayer for Egil. He was a legend who'd always come when called by Ruzi to assist the Empire. His exploits of killing powerful magi, mages, and others had cemented his legacy. When silence fell again, Grandmaster Frost spoke up.
"I shall do what Magi Killer could not. For the Empire."
"For the Empire,"
Ruzi replied, saluting Frost, the words dimly echoed by everyone around them. Frost was displeased when he appeared before Ragnar. The fact that Egil's send-off had more fanfare than his angered the older man. Egil had risen to power during Frost's master years, and he'd dismissed the non-magi until Egil killed High Champion Leafson. That act had brought Egil to the attention of the Emperor, who had personally decorated the Arms Master. That was why he didn't exchange pleasantries with Ragnar, instead sending a barrage of icicles at him instantly. Ragnar didn't get completely out of the way, so Frost drew blood from him. The frozen spikes had been thin enough to get through the links of his chainmail, yet strong enough to actually drive into his flesh. Burning his aether in anger, Ragnar roared as he rushed at Frost.
It dishonors the fighter if he doesn't greet his opponent,"
Ironhand sighed.
"Even if Frost wins, Kroger will be unhappy with the fact he didn't do so."
"For the Empire!"
a magi shouted loudly, trying to encourage Frost. He was suddenly on the back foot against an angry Ragnar. More people took up the shout, and faint, distant shouts could be heard from Bloodrock. The ensuing fight was a showcase of ice magic. Icicles, flash freezes, and a wall of ice at one point were all created and used. None of it stopped Ragnar, who used his magic to either dodge the danger, coat himself in aether to push through it, or literally break the wall in a single hit. With his magic not doing enough, Frost had to use his spear to try to kill Ragnar. The problem for him, as with most magi, was that he wasn't as skilled with a weapon as he could have been. Ragnar, however, was easily an arms master of his, and when the two did clash, Frost ended up bleeding heavily. He used ice to shut the gashes as he brought himself some distance with more magic. Unlike when he fought Egil, Ragnar was trying to kill Frost as quickly as possible, but the Grandmaster Magi had centuries of battle under his belt using his magic. Most of his spells were used for wide-scale attacks, bleeding his aether off faster because he couldn't scale them down fast enough during the battle. As with Egil, the end came suddenly. The moment Ragnar closed the gap between him and Frost again, he grabbed the Magi by the neck. A thick icicle speared through Ragnar's gut, but he ripped Frost's head off his body before flinging his corpse at the Empire encampment. The next moment, he left a trail of aether flame behind him as he rushed off toward the city.
"We've already lost two of the five duels,"
Ruzi said angrily.
"Frost assured me he could kill a fledgling High Champion. He failed the Empire, but we still bow our heads to send his soul to Mortum."
Gregory exhaled. The biggest threat to Ruzi's power had just died, but the others still needed to fight to remove them as problems. He was still worried about Ava's fight, but he wouldn't be able to mourn for her, not until he was back in the embassy. He wiped the remaining tears from his eyes for Egil's death.
"Levi, Bring the bodies back. We'll make sure they are treated respectfully.
Ironhand said softly.
Yes, sir.
Levi replied. He created portals to send the bodies from the field to near the healer's tent. They had been warned ahead of time that corpses would likely appear to be seen to.
Have them send the next fighter,
Ruzi told the Wind Magi. Donix and Erica's duels went just as Gregory had predicted. Both were wounded, but victorious. The fight had gone out of the Empire when Donick had won, as it meant the agreement would be upheld. When Erica used Rockhand's earth spikes as stepping stones to close the distance, even the Magi were shocked. It prompted a discussion about using speed plus aether infusing a foot to protect it from the stone. Ironhand said it was possible, but that he'd never considered doing such, as just breaking them would be easier for him. When Ava Hernadotter fought Master Fog, no one saw anything. Fog used his normal method to cover the area in his namesake. The clash of weapons came, if muffled, but no one could see it. The Wind Magi was concentrating on the fight, trying to keep track of it. The moment she felt one of the two fall, she burst the fog apart. Fog was impaled by Ava's spear, which jutted up from his head. She was on her hands and knees for a second before she collapsed. The instant she fell, she vanished, as if a spatial magic user had taken her.
They have a spatial priest with them,
Ruzi sighed.
There goes my last plan to sour their victory. Begin preparations to depart. By tomorrow afternoon, all spatial magi will be ferrying the command staff and elite units to Baldoon's border. Command, with me. We need to begin planning.
He paused to turn to Ironhand.
You are to finish our side of this agreement. Make sure that whichever Magi Iverson demands knows not to break the agreement. It's for a child, not for life, so no matter how much they hate it, they'll do their duty for the Empire. Yes, sir.
Ironhand saluted. Everyone began to leave, but Ironhand stayed behind, as did Gregory and Mindy. Gregory was still looking out at the field until Fog's body and Ava's spear vanished. Mindy took his hand, giving it a squeeze.
Pet it,
Ironhand called.
Come with me. I'm going to pay my respects to Magi Killer.
Yes, sir,
Gregory said softly.
Mindy, you too. Bloodhound will be putting you back to work.
Yes, sir,
Mindy murmured. Chapter 51. A lot happened after the duels ended. A brief service was held for the dead, with Ruzi speaking for the five fallen. Ironhand was given Ava's spear to return when Ragnar contacted the camp again. By midday the following day, Ruzi, most of the command team, and the elite units of the army were portaled away. With Ruzi gone, Ironhand became the commander of the remaining army, so he began the process of getting things ready to march. Mindy was told to work with the other healers because Bloodhand had gone with Ruzi. Gregory was tasked with figuring out when things would happen so Ironhand could plan better. That's why, 2 days after the duel, Ironhand and Gregory stood between the city and camp. Gregory held Ava's spear to be given back, an offering to reinforce the deal that had been agreed to. Ragnar was suddenly beside them, having come through a portal. He had some new scars, but was perfectly healthy otherwise.
Iverson, I am Elder Ironhand, clan leader of the Ironhand clan.
I know of you, Ironhand, and of your clan. If I'm correct, you are General Ruzi's second in command in all but official title. Your emperor wanted to keep his army separated from any Magi clan, almost as if he was afraid that they might turn on him if a Magi led them.
He fears nothing, as he is divine. Even your high priest knows he cannot stand against the emperor.
Ragnar started to say more, but Gregory coughed loudly, then presented the spear.
Iverson, your warrior left her weapon on the field.
She fought bravely against a man who was too cowardly to face her in the open,
Ragnar said softly as he accepted the weapon.
Out of the others, she had the hardest fight. One of our healers overtaxed themselves trying to save Hernadotter.
His grim expression spoke volumes.
She still killed the Magi before she fell,
Ironhand said.
It's something her family should be proud of. Your country will surely celebrate today. And your legacy has been secured because of this war. Not only did you take and hold Bloodrock, you were the only man to beat General Ruzi in war, and you slew Ikil Magi Killer in single combat.
I retook rightful Krogian land, Ragnar said.
As for defeating General Ruzi, that was unexpected, but welcome. Now my countrymen won't feel as wary of a war with your empire while he still lives.
He paused in his prideful tone to dip his head slightly.
The defeat of Ikil Magi Killer is a proud thing for me, but also sad. He has killed more Magi than many of our best champions. I would have loved to speak to him about his tactics. The respect you give him is honor to his memory.
Ironhand said, softening his stance slightly.
The army will be marching away tomorrow morning. Before we go, there is the matter of a marriage. I must record which Magi you are dragging into this.
Ragnar's lips twitched.
My sister is a beauty without comparison. It's hardly a burden to marry her.
She has Yurtig features, Gregory said softly. Many Magi would not find her beautiful.
He is right,
Ironhand said.
Many Magi wouldn't enjoy marrying someone with Yurtig features. The more pronounced their features, the less happy they would be. What features does she have, Pettit?
Antlers, as she has caribou Yurtig heritage. When I met her, she was blind as well,
Gregory said.
A blind woman with Yurtig features? Yes, many Magi would balk strongly at that marriage. Then I should pick a Magi who will honor my sister, as well as give Kroga a child that will be honored,
Ragnar said with a chuckle.
Which Magi do I know that would accept a woman with Yurtig blood? Not just accept, but love.
His gaze slowly turned to Gregory.
A foresight Magi. The only one in your empire who has multiple wives with Yurtig heritage. Pettit, I choose you to marry her. You will stay married until you have fathered at least one child with her.
Ironhand grunted.
That was expected. Pettit, do your duty, then sever all ties with her. It will tarnish your family and clan if you persist in the marriage past the child. If he treats her with honor, he would gain respect in Kroga,
Ragnar said with a smirk.
If the Empire wishes to take umbrage with Pettit and his wives, Kroga will gladly accept him. What could we do with a Foresight Magi to help us plan our raids?
Stop, Gregory told him firmly. I am loyal to the Empire. I am loyal to my clan and family. The Empire would have to turn on me before I left it.
Ironhand felt the conviction in those words and nodded.
I believe you, Pettit. I will withdraw what I said about leaving his sister the moment you have fathered a child with her. After all, she might decide that the Empire is better for her and the child.
Ragnar laughed loud and long at that. When he finally stopped, he wasn't even chuckling.
My sister will never leave Kroga for the Empire. She loves it as deeply as I do, for we have never forsaken Aether's teachings on how magic should be used. For a country that reveres Aether, you have so twisted his truth to fit your own ends that it is an insult to his memory.
Ironhand jerked as if slapped.
It seems we will not have a civil discussion. I respect those with honor. You, Ironhand, I could respect. Pettit has earned his through sweat, tears, and blood. Most of your empire will never have my respect. Least of all, your emperor.
Ironhand grunted.
Pettit, you have your orders. You and your wife will be sent back to the embassy as soon as we get back to camp. My sister and I will be back to Krogheim before the solstice,
Ragnar said.
A wedding right near then would be appropriate.
A smile ticked the edges of Ragnar's lips.
3 years and 50,
Ironhand said stiffly.
The Empire will hold to its agreement. The moment Kroga breaks it, we will take Bloodrock back. We have no need for a war with you. Not for years, at least. It's best to hone the edge and be ready for when I am stronger. You and I will likely face each other in a duel or in battle in the coming decades, Ironhand. I hope it is with honor and dignity.
Ironhand drew himself up and bowed formally.
I will always comport myself with the honor my sensei taught me. He gave me his name, and I will continue to honor it.
Ragnar towered over them as he slapped his right fist over his heart.
As any should, to respect their forebears, even if adopted.
That got Ironhand's eye to twitch in irritation. It was an old wound that had never fully healed.
Family is not just blood. It is those you see as family.
Ragnar stepped back, then bowed as a magi.
We can agree on that, Ironhand.
A moment later, Ragnar was gone, and Ironhand waved a hand over his head. A portal opened for them to pass through to reappear in the encampment. Ironhand looked at Levi and Mindy, then back to Gregory.
You have your orders. Do not think you have to stay with her longer than needed, but if she grows to love you, try to bring her to the Empire.
I'll do my best to win her heart and have her bring any child into the Empire,
Gregory said honestly. He just didn't add that it would likely be after he declared himself Aether. Ironhand's resonance had been on him briefly, but it withdrew.
Very well. Levi, take them to the embassy. Yes, sir,
Levi said as he ripped a portal open.
Go ahead.
Gregory and Mindy stepped through, finding themselves on the porch of the embassy. The portal closed behind them without Levi having come with them, making it far easier on him to help with logistics for the army. Mindy exhaled slowly.
Oh, thank goodness that's over.
I need to report to Rudit. You should come with me, but she'll dismiss you quickly. I'll meet you in the bath as soon as she lets me go. We could both use a good scrub.
I'll check in with the others, then meet you there.
The pair walked the hallways, getting salutes and welcomes from the men on duty. Makar glanced up when they entered his office, then shot to his feet. He was gone after a few brief words of greeting. A moment later, he was back, ushering them into Rudit's office.
Mindy, Gregory, welcome back, Rudit said. You came straight to me?
We did,
Gregory said.
Very well. Mindy, you are free to go clean up and relax for the day. Your duties will begin again tomorrow.
Yes, ma'am.
Mindy bowed, then left. Makar shut the door behind her, so it was just Gregory and Rudit in the office. Rudit set a ring on her desk to activate the enchantment against spying.
Sit, Gregory. Tell me about what happened.
Yes, ma'am,
Gregory said, taking the seat at the desk and relaying everything from the moment he'd left the embassy. When he'd finished, Rudit looked pensive.
Ruzi lost a war, and 4 magi were killed in duels while only 1 of the champions died. What a blow to his standing.
He'll make it back shortly, as he should be on the Buldoon border tomorrow to stop their incursions and drive into their territory enough to take Anders. The Crown will sign a treaty, giving Anders to us, something we've never done before.
That'll help, but his time as general will be over, won't it?
He steps down after selecting his replacement at the Emperor's behest. It will leave us looking weak for a few years, but we have a treaty with Kroga for a minimum of 3 years to help that.
I can see how that will help the new general solidify his command. Who will it be?
Ironhand.
What? The Emperor allows Ironhand to take the army?
He has to step away from his clan, but he does, as protecting the Empire has always been his calling. His second will rise up to hold the clan firm and actually remove some of the worst from it. Those few magi go to the Hardened Fist. Ironhand accepted that as being worth the trade when I informed him.
Things will shift for the Empire. I'm still shocked the Emperor is willing to give command of the army over to a magi. He's always been so set against it.
Ruzi makes an impassioned speech, citing Ironhand's many accomplishments. Then he notes that the army will be stronger with a man leading it who will live longer than 80 years.
I see. Well, Stenson was quite perturbed by your and Mindy's leaving. He threatened to ask for your removal from the posting.
He postured, as I told you he would.
Indeed. He'll likely be back tomorrow.
Gregory looked at the future, then nodded.
He will. He'll have heard of the agreement and deal.
Marriage to Verka Mohadotter. How curious that it was you who was chosen.
Rudit's expression made it clear she was being sardonic.
Ragnar just wants his sister to have a loving husband and powerful children.
Yes, that makes perfect sense. And I will not question it again. Did he say when the wedding might take place?
Near the solstice, Gregory said.
How appropriate. Weddings near the solstice are seen as momentous events, blessed by Vera. You should make sure your wives know the news, and take the time to bathe properly before dinner.
Yes, ma'am, Gregory said, not moving.
Rudit stared at him for a second. Gregory, is the future going to be what the clan hopes? The question was soft, the hope in her tone undeniable.
In time. I firmly believe that Aether will return in my lifetime. It just might not be for a century or two.
Oh, I have that time left, at least. She trailed off as she closed her eyes. Linus, you might not have been here to see it, but your long-held dream is coming, old friend.
The clan will be strong and ready when that day comes, Gregory added. The guard will be ready to stand beside Aether when he announces himself to the world. It's a good thing he won't be back for at least a century, as the clan needs that time to build itself up.
Rudit nodded as she removed her ring from the desk, slipping it back on. All too true. Go, your wives are probably waiting for you already. Gregory stood up and bowed to her.
As you command, Ambassador.
Rudit snorted, waving him away. She watched him go, thinking of how the polite young man she'd grown to know would one day shape the world. Lightshield had given enough hints for her to see the edges, and with Ragnar and Verka, the puzzle had become clearer. Now all that was needed was time and good fortune to make sure Gregory had the strength he'd need later. Chapter 52. Gregory gave Makara a nod when he went past the desk. Normally he'd stop to chat, but he wanted to clean up and see his wives. Makara watched him go, surprised that Gregory hadn't stopped, so he went in to see his mother. Gregory walked quickly, but not fast enough to break decorum in the embassy. The guards who saw him stepped aside to salute, and he returned it as he kept going. He went up the stairs until he reached the correct floor, then down the hall to the bathing room. Stepping into the dressing room, he stripped off his clothing. Voices came from the next room, and he was all smiles when he finally walked inside.
Oh, it's good to be home.
5 smiling faces turned his way from where they surrounded Mindy, scrubbing her.
Oh, we're so glad you're home,
Clover blurted out before anyone else could talk.
Welcome home, our soul,
Yukiko said with an amused glance at Clover.
Mindy hasn't told us anything. She said you'd fill us in, Ling said.
Because she was mostly in the healing tent,
Roshana added. Come over and sit, Greg. We'll be getting to you shortly, Jen said. Doing as he was asked, he sat on the open seat near his wives.
It's kind of long and complicated, but we were taken to the encampment near Bloodrock, which you know.
He did his best to go step by step with them, but there were pauses at times.
He was bold to ask for that,
Yukiko chuckled when Gregory told them about Ragnar's ask about marrying Verka.
Oh, it'll make it easier for her to join us,
Clover said with a bright smile.
And harder in other ways for the family,
Ling added somberly.
Correct,
Yukiko nodded.
We'll have increased scrutiny on our actions while we remain in Kroga.
If we keep doing as we have, it should be fine,
Roshana said.
But we need to be as careful as possible to not say anything even remotely wrong.
Any hint of sympathy for Kroga will be a problem,
Ling agreed.
I'll do my best,
Clover said softly.
I know I'm the weakest link on that with how I normally am.
Gregory touched her back gently, since she was closest to him.
It'll be okay, Clover. Your enthusiasm is a joy for us. Even if something happened, we'd deal with it. It's not just you, either. With me dealing with the ambassadors, I'll have to be just as stringent in watching my words.
It goes for all of us, and we'll have to use Ling's enchantment less. If we always hide behind it, it'll raise a bigger flag,
Yukiko said.
Which means watching what we say, even when alone,
Mindy said.
We can use our resonances to keep track of who might be using Aether around us, but that can strain us after a time. We should do so more often to get used to always having it around us. Only other spirit path followers would even feel it, and if we keep it a light touch, we won't feel threatening and we can withdraw it in those cases.
Passive touch versus active use is something we can all work on, Gregory agreed. Add it to our daily training, but we can all do it when we're separated.
It's odd, though, isn't it? Jen half asked. How multiple people can have resonance extended but not interfere with each other?
You can if you strengthen yours to block them, but then they can try to do the same to you,
Yukiko said.
It's an obvious thing, and it would quickly become a test of will. It takes a neutral act of passive sense and makes it an attack, even if it is an area denial rather than a true attack.
We've digressed pretty far,
Mindy said.
Greg, the meeting with Ragnar?
Oh, right, Gregory chuckled. He asked about marriage.
The next interruption came when Gregory talked about Master Zhu's attack. They'd also started washing Gregory because Mindy was soaking happily in the tub.
If you hadn't killed him, I would have,
Yukiko said with a hint of anger.
Was it a tough fight, Greg?
Jen asked.
The ring made it easy when he tried to trap me and crush me, Gregory said. Without it, I had plenty of other options, but none I wanted to show. If I burned Aether, it would raise a lot more questions from the other Magi. Ruzi and Ironhand knew from the reports, but I'm not sure the others did.
It caused a big stir. Zhu's clan will be sanctioned,
Mindy said.
I spoke with Bloodhand about it. Attacking another Magi in camp during a war is a huge issue. If he'd won, he could have blamed Gregory and it would have been accepted.
Which is why I wasn't raked over the coals. Because I won, Gregory grunted. I thought the questioning was light, and not just because he was one of the Magi against Ruzi.
Why the Wakizashi?
Clover asked as she scrubbed his back.
I came up right behind him. A shorter weapon was easier to use.
You having one on hand could easily be written off as it being one of our weapons,
Jen said.
Because most people don't know I train with it or the Guan Dao.
We've digressed again,
Ling chuckled.
Right, the next day was the duels.
Gregory got back on track, telling them what had happened.
Ava fell?
Clover asked with wide eyes as they rinsed Gregory.
I'm still not positive that she died, but she wasn't in a good place when they took her, Gregory said. Ragnar didn't mention giving her spear to her daughter, so I have a little spark of hope that she's alive.
If she died, he would have flatly said it to Ironhand and mentioned the spear going to Angela, Jen said. I think she survived. And he didn't want to raise tensions by saying it. Ironhand will likely come to that same conclusion.
That'll cause problems for Ruzi,
Yukiko said.
5 dead, including 4 Magi and Egil, while none of the Krogians died. Hopefully he can salvage it against Buldoon, as Gregory has seen.
I haven't seen a future where he doesn't, but this is his last war,
Gregory said softly.
Kroger will become bolder,
Roshana said.
Ruzi and Egil have earned respect for their abilities. Ironhand is respected for his strength, but he isn't known as unbeatable.
Buldoon will recover from this loss, then also be emboldened,
Yukiko said.
Ruzi was just as feared by Buldoon. I'm sure some will cite his age as to why he suddenly lost Bloodrock.
His mind was as keen as ever, and Ironhand will fight that fight,
Gregory said.
I didn't like Bloodhand,
Mindy sniffed as everyone joined her in the tub.
If not for how things went, I'm sure he would have tried to keep me on his staff. I worry about what will happen after this posting.
After everyone was settled, Yukiko slid over to sit in Gregory's lap.
Bishop will do her best to keep you safe,
she said.
If she doesn't fully know, she knows enough to realize that our family is important. I'll be very curious where she sends us after this posting.
Yes, away. And a lot can change between now and then,
Ling said.
But I think she's planning for it already.
I'm sure Lightshield left hints about what the future would be. We can only do what we must until it's time.
Rudy knows, Gregory said softly. Or she's on the edge of it. My marriage to Verka brought a comment about it being appropriate.
Yukiko's lips pursed.
I'll keep an eye on her. She's done a lot for us,
Clover said.
She's friendly and a clanmate,
Ling nodded, but making sure she has our best interests at heart, or at least is right behind the clan, is important, Jen said.
Exactly,
Yukiko smiled. Clover squirmed in Ling's lap.
But what if she isn't?
Yukiko met Clover's gaze somberly.
Our soul must be protected at all costs.
Yuki, Gregory said, holding her firmly. We have to trust the seniors of our clan. Light Shield trusted them enough to give them hints, so we need to extend that same trust. I'd also be very upset if you ever went against Dia or Bishop unless they specifically tried to harm us.
Yukiko leaned into him.
I'll do my best to hold to that, my soul.
Greg?
Clover asked quietly after a second of silence.
Can we drag you back to the room before dinner?
Gregory blinked at Clover, not having expected the question.
She's been eager for your return, Ling chuckled.
Truthfully, we all have been,
Roshana admitted softly.
We know these years are the closest we'll get to be with one another for decades. That makes us all want to be close as often as we can.
Especially with Verka joining us soon, Jen added. We'll accept her fully, but it means another who wants your love while we're here.
As my wife's wish,
Gregory smiled softly, his hands gliding over Yukiko's body.
Should we skip the soak?
Yes!
Clover blurted out excitedly, jumping out of the tub. Laughter followed her as she went to get towels, but everyone else was also climbing out of the tub. Jen brought Gregory a towel, helping him dry off.
Yesterday was our anniversary, my heart.
I'm sorry I wasn't here,
Gregory said softly, pulling her in for a hug.
It's okay. It won't be the last one we miss together. However, the others did agree that since you did, you'd make sure I get extra attention tonight.
Gladly, my fierce fighter. I'm sure Yuki and the others will be glad to help me make sure you get your desires tonight.
Chapter 53. Gregory reported to the office when he was summoned by Makar. This was the only big event of the day, but it would have moments that needed to be handled carefully. Gregory gave Makar a dip of his head as he went past the desk to knock on Rudit's door. He gave it a second before he opened it and stepped inside.
Ambassador, you summoned me.
Come sit, Petit,
Rudit said. She motioned vaguely at a chair that was near her and across from Stenson.
The High Priest has some questions that you might be able to help with.
Yes, ma'am,
Gregory said, taking the offered seat after bowing to Stenson.
Good morning, sir.
Petit, when did you return to the embassy?
Stenson didn't wait to begin.
Yesterday, sir.
Your wife came with you?
Mindy also returned, sir.
Both of you vanished from the embassy to return here just as suddenly. Where did you both go?
Bloodrock, sir. General Ruzi sent Elder Ironhand to fetch us to help with the stalemate in the city.
You admit that you fought in the war while being an ambassador?
Stenson's eyebrows rose.
No, sir. I didn't raise a weapon against a single Krogian.
Stenson's resonance rested on Gregory. It wasn't pressuring, just holding him lightly.
I see. What a peculiar way to phrase it. Did you kill anyone while gone?
Yes, sir. A man attacked me, and I had to kill him. But he wasn't affiliated with Kroga in any way.
Stenson's eyes narrowed slightly.
Who would attack you while you were with your general, if not a Krogian?
A Magi, sir. He objected to a clause in the agreement that ended the war.
A Magus disliked you being there?
A Master Tyr Magus, sir. He objected that I might be the one chosen for the agreement. He thought that a Foresight Magi's power was too powerful for Kroga to have a chance at.
Because of Moha, daughter?
You know about the agreement, sir?
I was informed yesterday. Why do you think I'm here today?
To question why two assistant ambassadors were able to slip out to aid the war effort while being under watch? Or at least, that's the official reason you'll give. The other reason is that you aren't sure if Verka should marry any Magi, even me. She's currently her favorite to be your successor, and thus watched and guarded for that end.
Stenson's resonance gripped Gregory tighter.
You think that, do you?
High Priest, any attack on Gregory is an attack on the Empire. Please do not break the agreement after a single day, Rudit said calmly, sitting forward in her seat. Stenson felt Rudit's resonance touch him. She couldn't stop him or even annoy him with hers, but she did know he had Gregory wrapped. He briefly considered wrapping her, too, but that would be a step too far. For now.
He isn't pressuring me, ma'am. I believe he's using his resonance to test my veracity. Some of those along the spirit path can detect tremors in a person's spirit. It's a difficult technique to train, but it can be helpful. He isn't pushing down on me, merely holding his resonance against me.
Very well, Rudit said, sitting back again.
Pettit is correct. I'm surprised that he knows of that technique, though. I didn't believe any Magi besides the Shining Light Clan even trained the spirit path far enough to know of it,
Stenson said. The Peaceful Fist combines spirit and body. While we aren't as advanced as most pure spirit path followers, we aren't far behind either. I can detect trustworthiness in someone, but not lies, Gregory replied. You're trustworthy, sir. You would still crush me if I meant harm to Kroga or your favorite, but you don't hate me, at least not currently.
Stenson sat back in his seat, eyeing Gregory with interest.
You are very calm for being held by a sage's power, Pettit. Most others would at least be sweating.
If I thought you meant me harm, sir, I would be.
Tell me, how did your empire take their loss?
As well as you'd expect, sir. You undoubtedly had your eyes and ears on the encampment enough to have a general idea of what happened.
I did. It was surprising that Ruzi left as suddenly as he did. I thought he'd fight tooth and nail not to lose his victorious streak, yet he offered the duels, then left as soon as they were done. I won't ask where or why, but I do find it odd.
He had other matters to take care of, sir.
Ironhand has already started moving the army away, signaling an end to this war with us having reclaimed Blood Rock. Ragnar will stay there for a month to verify that they have indeed left. But that does bring us back to the agreement's clauses.
Which is the biggest reason you wanted me here today, Gregory said. Virka is going to marry me near the solstice.
Stenson's eyes bore into Gregory.
Curious that you think the solstice would be the right time for it.
That's what Ragnar told me when I spoke with him last, sir. If the timing is to be changed, I understand.
Foresight is so frustrating to deal with. Linus was just like this, always calm because he knew what was going to happen. You at least don't wear a knowing smile while doing it.
One day I might, Gregory chuckled softly. I have a lot of growing to do to reach his heights.
As an elder, yes. But he was like that as a magus, too.
One day, sir, I'd love to hear more about his younger days.
Maybe, Pettit. Let us stay on task for now. Do you object to marrying Virka Mohedotter?
No, sir. I call her and Ragnar my friends, even if my country might not like that.
Rudit coughed loudly.
My ears rang briefly. I'm sure I didn't miss anything.
Stenson glanced at Rudit before turning his attention back to Gregory.
I see. I will speak with her when she returns with the others. If she doesn't object, then I will stand aside. Gods know you would be far better for her than any other Magi I know of.
I would do my very best for her to know the love all in my family do, sir. She's already a friend to my wives, and when I informed them of the agreement, they were supportive. She'll not find herself surrounded by jealous Magi.
Good. I wouldn't be happy if she was hated by the people in her family. When are you planning on meeting her family?
Gregory's lips twitched up briefly.
I think once Virka returns, we'll be taking that trip. My entire family will, if the ambassador approves it.
Rudit's eye twitched. Gregory hadn't told her of the request ahead of time. It was a well-done trap to ensure she wouldn't disagree, but it hadn't been needed.
Of course. We have been building goodwill with Kroga. We wouldn't want to insult the bride by not allowing your family to meet her parents.
I see,
Stenson murmured.
Very well. Ragnar has led us to our greatest victory over the Empire in centuries. The Empire has lost, for the first time in decades, and is soon to lose their key general. Let me pause to offer my condolences on the loss of Egil Magi Killer Pettit. I know he was a mentor to you for a few years at least.
Gregory bowed in his seat.
He was. Egil was a good man, and I'll mourn his passing. While his name will live on for years in the Empire, his words will live with me for the rest of my life.
Oh, no greater accomplishment can a man achieve than living on in the minds of those he loved,
Stenson said softly.
I'm sure he would be honored for you to remember him, Gregory.
Gregory bowed his head when Stenson used his given name, not his family name.
Thank you, sir. I'll do as I have before and be as respectful and honorable to the people and culture of Kraga as I have been. Vrka will know only love and acceptance in my family, and Ragnar will be like a brother to me. Even when the Empire and Kraga have trouble, I will always see them as family.
Oh, I would doubt you if not for your earnestness and my resonance.
Stenson added the last three words with a ghost of a smile.
I think we can conclude this meeting.
He stood up but didn't head for the door.
If any of you are taken from the embassy or engage in an act of war against us again, you will be removed from the posting. It is only the goodwill you've built that stops that happening today.
We understand, High Priest, Rudit said, getting to her feet.
Gregory stood up when she did, waiting for her to continue. However, we are beholden to the Empire.
It would be rare for us to even attempt to refuse an order.
I understand,
Stenson said.
Pettit, walk the High Priest out, Rudit said. Then return here.
Yes, ma'am,
Gregory said. He knew the reason why, but didn't show any hint of it. Makar got up when the pair left the office, bowing to them before going in to check on his mother. Stenson didn't speak until they got closer to the front door of the embassy.
Pettit, you helped with the Empire taking the fringes back, didn't you?
I was ordered to use my magic to limit the losses to the Empire, sir. My future saw that being done with less losses of life on both sides.
I thought so. One day, you might choose to step away from the Empire. If you do, Kraga would welcome you.
Gregory dipped his head.
I am honored, sir. As hard as it is at times to stomach some of the laws and actions of the Empire, it is still my home.
Loyalty is good, but how long can you be loyal to corruption?
Gregory paused when he'd put his hand on the handle of the door.
If all good magi leave, who'd try to fix the corruption?
Stenson chuckled at that line.
Linus said the same thing centuries ago. I hope you can do more than my friend accomplished before his death.
Me too, sir. Me too.
Gregory stepped into Rudit's office.
Ma'am, I have returned.
Come sit, Rudit said.
Gregory took the seat and waited. Rudit stared at him, but Gregory didn't flinch from the long silence.
You trapped me in that conversation, Pettit. Why? You should have known I would have allowed it anyway.
Gregory exhaled slowly before answering.
I ask for your forgiveness, ma'am. I know at some point I need some skills. This was me trying to get a feel for how such a situation might go.
One of Rudit's eyebrows rose.
You used me as a test?
Yes, ma'am. I know you would have agreed, and I should have told you ahead of time. That's why I ask for forgiveness. It embarrassed you in front of Stenson to be caught like that. He would have only seen it as me using foresight to achieve a goal, not as an embarrassment for you. Lightshield did the same to him many times in the past.
Rudit sat back in her chair.
I'm impressed, upset, proud, and disappointed all at the same time. I will allow it, but do not do that to me again.
Yes, ma'am,
Gregory said, bowing his head.
That went well,
Rudit said, changing the topic.
You led the conversation without problems.
Thank you, ma'am. There were a few instances where things could have gone poorly, but luckily everything went smoothly.
Was this one of those moments?
Rudit asked. Gregory's lips twitched.
Yes, ma'am. I knew we would have this discussion because of what I did.
Light shield.
Rudit sighed as she rubbed her face. He might not have trained you in foresight much, Pettit, but you're already picking up some of his mannerisms.
Gregory bowed at the waist to her.
Thank you. I consider any words favorably comparing us a compliment.
Go, Rudit sighed, waving him away. Spend the day with a wife or two.
Gregory stood and bowed formally to her.
As you decree, Ambassador.
Chapter 54. A few days came and went, allowing for the family to begin finding their normal routine again. The first thing they did was Armsmaster Squares in the morning before breakfast. Gregory would look at the future and tell them about anything relevant. Meditation in one of its various forms would follow that. Then it was off to breakfast and informing the lieutenants about the day. From there, all of his wives would head to the yard with most of the guards for the Peaceful Fist, along with Rafik and the staff that had taken to it. Gregory would go to Rudit's office to tell her about the day, and most days do the Peaceful Fist with her and Makar in her office. Occasionally, they'd head to the yard to join the others. From there, everyone went about the tasks they had for the day. Mindy would do her rounds to heal anyone who had even the smallest pain. Roshana would water the gardens, as it was far easier than having the staff haul water, and it helped her magic. Jen would train some of the guards, while Yukiko went over paperwork most of the day, besides the spying she was still doing. Ling and Clover worked on whatever Rudit had for them, but then had projects they were working on for the family. Gregory, on the other hand, was free every day, so he did whatever he had to do before picking one or two of his wives to spend time with. That meant at least cuddles, but in a few cases, locked offices and more intimate time. He was glad that they all accepted that. It would have been horrible if anyone got jealous. He'd had a brief nightmare where that jealousy overwhelmed them. It had shaken Gregory when Yukiko killed all the others, then came to him covered in blood. When he told them about his nightmare, his wives comforted him. The worst any of them got was small twinges of wanting to be the one beside him sometimes, but none of them felt jealous enough to argue, much less kill each other. Gregory was pensive when he let go of Foresight. Today was something he'd worried about, but there was a way around it. What he'd found was treasonous if he was caught on it. It was a thin line to walk, but he'd get Yukiko's opinion before anything else.
Greg? Jen asked.
Orders for Yuki come in today, Gregory said, looking at her. You'll be called to Rudit's office.
Assassination?
Yukiko asked.
Yes. Rudit refuses because it would mean your death if Stenson could pin it on you. That doesn't stop it from happening. The Whispering Darkness clan is sent,
Gregory explained, then turned to Ling.
Ling, some music, please.
There was no presence of other Aether on them yet, but what Gregory was about to say needed the security. Ling pulled out the enchanted device and got it started, looking at him with a questioning expression. Once it was on, Gregory exhaled.
Even then, Stenson comes and pressures Yuki to get her to verify that she isn't at fault. That stresses things, but Rudit allows it to show our goodwill. Yuki, you don't need to use your family's secret, but if you do, it raises your standing in his eyes. You're able to be cool when he's firmly pressing down on you.
You've explained that before,
Yukiko said softly.
Why did we need the barrier?
We can tread a very thin line, Gregory said. A simple note left where they'll find it, telling them of impending assassination, but not who or when. That gives the Elder an increased chance of surviving and gets the Magi injured but not killed. It has to be today, before the assassin gets to the city, so they don't know security on the Elders is increased.
Yukiko sat back, her mind racing as she tried to calculate what was gained and lost from doing what Gregory suggested. It was treason, but without giving solid information, it would be hard to pin on them. Stenson could easily figure out where news of the future assassination came from, especially once the assassination attempt happened. She honestly loved her husband, as he always wanted to protect the innocent, even to his own detriment. However, that same impulse made it more likely that their family would have far more trouble than they should.
Greg, why?
Clover asked softly. It's a statement that even though the Empire lost the war, even the Council of Krogheim is never truly safe. It's the edge of what would be allowed and not be a war-tipping event. It's petty and dumb and doesn't come from Ruzi, which Stenson will know. This order comes with the Empire's seal, meaning the Emperor